down, buckle in, get ready. This is the Rebel Room. I am your host, Taylor Byrne, alongside colleagues Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer, Las Vegas Sun, corner of the newsroom where we three gentlemen get together every Monday to discuss all things Rebels. Boy, this is familiar, right, gentlemen? I mean, we're not quite to basketball season yet, getting 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away from the home opener against Morehead State Friday night, November 14th. And so we look to the gridiron where I called it a new low. UNLV ended up coming back, making it a game, but they lose 31-28 at home to a previously two-win New Mexico. Ray Brewer, is this the low point of the season?
Well, you're putting me on the spot. I'm trying to think of previous low points. Is it worse than a 13-12 win over Northern Colorado?
That's the other one that's in the conversation.
Okay.
I think that's worse. As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, that's
the thing
worse.
I couldn't figure out.
He still won that game. As bad as Northern Colorado is, and I've been banging that drum all year, you still won. And so any win, I think, is better than a loss.
That's true. I just think that performance was probably worse than this one.
The overall performance, it absolutely was.
I mean, I think what made that performance even worse is that that was when UNLV still had players. I mean, I'm not an excuse maker, but if you look at the team that was on the field for the New Mexico game and go position by position and look at the team that was on the field for the first game of the year position by position, they've had to replace so many players, and it's been quite telling about the program. Your backups, just and beating the same drum as past weeks, your backups aren't good enough to fill in, and you're relying on the two or the three guy at so many holes. You take the field against a New Mexico team who literally can't complete a pass, and we're talking college Division I football. There's a lot of people out there that could throw a football, but apparently New Mexico doesn't have one of them, and yet UNLV can't figure out a way to do it.
2 for 7 for 5 yards, and the New Mexico SID really had to fight for that one completion for 5 yards because it was initially looked like it might have been a backwards lateral. But New Mexico does what it does. They are sticking to that ground game. Occasionally they mix in a little more pass, but really didn't even threaten it against UNLV. Rebels fell into a 17-0 hole, 21 unanswered, everything rolling, and then another interception that's returned inside the 5-yard line. And that's what changed everything. UNLV was able to retake the lead, but then New Mexico got the ball back with about 8 minutes left and just a tremendous drive by them. Two third down conversions, a fourth down conversion, just ate up the entire clock, pretty much scored. And then UNLV was left with just enough time to get in position for a 55-yard field goal attempt and brought on a walk-on who was not on the roster. Everybody, like when we were up in the press box, we knew. So Nikolai Bornan, their long-range kicker, was on the sidelines on crutches, and Jonathan Leiva does not have the leg for that.
He's lucky to get over the line of scrimmage. Go ahead.
Yes. So they just had to go with someone else, and was sitting up in the press box. It was number 34, I think the kid was Brian McIntyre. 34 on the roster is Henry Husila, who's a backup running back from Finland. And so we were thinking for a second, they're really running out this Finnish kid to kick. I had no idea.
It's a soccer nation, right?
I had no idea he could kick. But no, it was a walk-on from our review. Brian McIntyre nearly made it. The kick was like a helicopter. So instead of going end over end right off his foot, it was just going side to side. But it just kept going, looked like it was about to get there, and it falls a little bit short of the crossbar. That would have sent the game to overtime. UNLV didn't deserve to win, so you can't be too busted up about it. I mean, they blew it because they really did. They shook off the initial hole, the 17-0 hole that they dug themselves into, and it was mostly just Blake Decker missing a ton.
Well, here's the deal. UNLV no longer has a chance to go to a bowl game. Playing out the schedule, last game against Reno, let's hope they don't embarrass themselves again. But Blake, the interception thrower, Decker, I think has
you got to work on that nickname.
You don't like that one?
No.
Okay. Well, he's got 5 games, I think, to prove himself. If not, UNLV probably needs to hit the reset button at that position. And
at that position, why not just set the reset button for everything? I don't think you need to add that
position. I believe what
in
you're
there.
Talking about is shuttering the program.
No, no, he's not saying that. He's just saying go a different direction. I'm okay with giving Bobby another year because the injuries were so bad and the buyout would, you know, further handcuff the university. But they have to find somebody that can manage the game, in my opinion.
I mean, this team lost at home to New Mexico. What changed? I sat in here 3 weeks ago and said, if they lose at home to New Mexico, you have to blow it all up. And I thought you were going to go down my throat, and you just looked at me like, I agree. Now you've changed your tune? Why?
I'm all for blowing it up if you're Georgia and you have the money to pay.
Why'd
to blow
you agree
it up?
With me a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. I'm allowed to change my opinion. All I'm saying is that
I just didn't see much.
Does UNLV have the money to pay for Bobby? Could they put him on a payment plan?
They will on the first game next year.
Do they fire him after the first game after they lose to Michigan?
I mean, you
got to ride it out, and you know the league is.
I don't know that you. They are so bad. They are 2-7 in the worst year in Mountain West history.
They're bad, but what are you going to do? Where's the money going to come from?
Michigan. That's where the buyout money comes from, Michigan.
So you're going to tell Bobby, we'll see you later, and we're going to give you your money in 8 months?
Well, no. Right. Just you can pay him now, and then you can earmark that money for it. You have the money. You just have to pay it. You're going into the red. But that money okay. that is
I didn't know that
coming,
going into the red helps. Was an option.
Well, of course it is. They've been in the red.
I know there's limitations, and this isn't the easiest place to build a football program. But bottom line, Hauk is in what, year five?
This is year five.
Year five, and you are one of the five worst teams in the country. UNLV, Las Vegas should not have one of the five worst college football teams in the country, especially when the guy's been here 5 years.
Yeah. No stadium on campus.
One of the five worst teams in the country. Appalachian State would beat them right now. They just became a D1 school this year.
I didn't even know they were D1.
App State's not even good.
Yeah. Here's the deal. This is not Bobby, I agree with you, Case, and Taylor, I don't know what your opinion is, but Bobby clearly hasn't got the job done. I don't dispute that. But the problem goes deeper than Bobby. The circumstance at UNLV.
As I pointed out, this is now – because they're guaranteed to finish under 500, this is the 23rd losing season in the last 28 years. That is so freaking bad. And it's not like you can go 5-7 and have a losing season. They're not going 5-7.
They're
going 2-10.
I get it. They're a perennial 2-win team.
And so, yes, it is deeper than Bobby, but guess what? Bobby ain't working.
How is this your worst team in year five?
Well,
you
I don't
can't
know
tell
if
me it's only injuries.
I don't know if it's his worst team.
It's playing like it.
I mean,
the first year they
statistically, metric-wise, it's by far the worst team. They've never been this low.
My first year on the beat, which was a 2-win team, and they had a lot of heartbreaking losses. Like they were close.
I mean, the Mountain West
stuff.
Was good
was,
that year,
exactly
right?
That too. You know, that included – they're dodging Boise State and Colorado State, the two best teams in the league, and they still have 2 wins.
Yeah.
One in league play.
Yeah. Now, if you get rid of Bobby, which seems like the general consensus.
I mean, I don't see what else there is that
he's
he can
not,
do.
He's definitely – yeah, I totally agree.
I agreed. Here's been my like kind of timeline with Bobby as far as this goes. I thought after the Hawaii loss to end the year 2 years ago, I thought that should have been it. I understand maybe why it wasn't, financials and the overall season wasn't as bad as 2 wins made it appear. So whatever, I disagreed with that, but okay, you bring it back and you have a really nice year. Go to a bowl game. And I agreed with the extension too. That if you can't say that you gave it a real shot if you bring him back as a lame duck coach for the 1 year. While I realize that financially that was definitely what you'd prefer to do, I get extending him at that point. I also get cutting the ties after this year. If this is all that this is all that this team can be. And
do you think they acted a little too quick to extend him last year?
I mean, the timing of it, a little, but it didn't seem completely unreasonable. I mean, he's still, compared to a lot of other programs, he's still remarkably underpaid. And so while it was a raise by UNLV standards. And here's the other thing with it, or I guess the counter. If Blake Decker – and it's not even – look, Blake Decker's first interception was terrible. Worst throw I've seen him make all year, and that's saying something. His second one was off of Devontae Boyd's hands. It was a little off-target throw, but it was off Boyd's hands, goes right into a defender's arms, who takes it inside the five-yard line. If Boyd catches that or it's just incomplete, UNLV probably goes down, you know, assuming he doesn't throw an interception on the next play, probably goes down, scores a touchdown, goes on to win the game. So that's how close it is. But they keep finding ways. Bobby's players keep finding ways to lose games. And that's the one that they're even in, which has been remarkably few. Only the home games are they even close this year. And their home schedule is garbage.
I know your counter to this would be, well, they made a bowl game. But I just can't believe the expectations could be even lowered. The first year I was here was Mike Sanford's last year. And you look at their career records right now, I think he was two games better than Bobby Houck, and everyone could not wait to get Sanford out in year five.
Well, because Sanford was Houck is 100 times nicer guy than Sanford.
That's a problem, though. Shouldn't we be based on performance?
Well, yeah.
In some regards?
But it's easier to make excuses for Bobby because he's a nice dude.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised by that. I didn't realize that. So whenever
Sanford was
the couple times I dealt with Sanford, he was fine. I mean, the times that
I'm not going to talk negative about the guy. He's the head football coach.
Well, his parting press conference says everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just thought I think a lot of that reputation as far as not being the best guy might have been what was going on when he realized it was spiraling out. I think, like, going into that season, I didn't feel like there was a lot of negativity around him as a person.
Yeah. I didn't feel like coming into this year that Houck's job should have been a conversation at all and the caveat was always there unless they dropped down to, like, two wins again. And I just didn't think that I thought four wins was going to be a bad year. I guess it technically still could be, but, man, this is just – they're just bad and not getting really any better.
And I think if they were to be killed at home by Reno, then Pop, you know, I think that's enough to pull the trigger.
Especially if you still have just the two wins at that point. So they get Air Force at home this week. Another option-based offense, but a much better team than New Mexico. Then it's at BYU, who's awful, but going on the road with UNLV, no one expects good things to happen there. You've got the at Hawaii also still coming. Again, Hawaii's bad. And hasn't really even been very good at home this year. But again, UNLV making the trip, especially after how it went 2 years ago when they were the better team and just got annihilated. So you've got all those games. You can try and spin it all you want. I mean, on either side, it's all opinions. It's all how much you value money versus results versus, you know, a program that just has never had any success, but boy, this feels like a new low point. Even, you know, my counterpart Mark Anderson over at the RJ, who's been around longer than I have, has been talking about for a few weeks that this might be the worst UNLV team he's ever seen. And that's there are a lot of bad UNLV.
I wasn't
teams.
Saying that just to make my case. I really think since I've been here, it's not even close. This is the worst team,
sure.
And
well,
that's just a problem in year five.
Anderson covered the 0-12 Jeff Horton final season. I would say that was probably, in my opinion, the leader in the clubhouse.
Probably, yeah. But I mean, look at what are your two wins? 1 point against one of the worst teams in Division I AA, and overtime against one of the worst teams in your league.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of – and I know Bobby doesn't deserve a mulligan or redos, and I don't need you to yell at me, Case. But
– I thought we were on the same page with this. You turn –
No,
you
I'm not.
Switch,
I'm just – I'm trying
mind,
to be level-headed right now. You never need to overreact. I mean
– Overreact? We got a 60-some game sample here.
No, I totally get it, but he's had a ton of injuries – to deal with this year.
That's why you do this thing called recruiting and you get some depth in college football.
There is none, and that's a glaring problem. But if you were to get rid of the coach, you still have kind of the same roster, but now you'd have to pay two coaches. Are you going to bring in a coach for less than $700? Because you kind of pay for what you get. So now you're on the hook for 1-point-some million next year, plus you got to pay out all Bobby's coaches. Your football staff is going to be more expensive.
You don't have to pay out his coaches. They're year to year.
Are they? Because
they're
thought that they each got 2-year deals, You might
yeah, I mean, during, that could be.
Because of the bull. So now you got to pay out – in my scenario, you got to pay out 11 other guys, and you got to bring in a new staff at the same rate, arguably, right?
Yeah. Well, do you want to play Division I football or don't you?
Let's just be terrible. Let's just settle for being absolutely awful.
No, I want to play Division I football, okay? Who's going to pay for it? I want to also drive a Cadillac. You know what? I'm stuck in a freaking Toyota, and there's nothing I can do about it.
There is a coach that in 20 years or 15 years will be considered one of the best coaches in America that right now you could get for that cheap if you find the right guy. I'm saying there's a lot of luck to go with that.
You better hurry up.
You cannot – that's not impossible. There's guys – every year there are some really bright minds in football. I'm not saying that it's all just based on UNLV can go get them.
Sanford came here from Urban Meyer's staff when Urban Meyer went undefeated and won the Fiesta Bowl. And he came in here thinking he's going to win the Mountain West.
And he did better than Bobby Houck.
He did.
No doubt. But you know what? He also won two games a few times. And you know why he couldn't get the job done here?
I'm listening.
It's UNLV.
University of not a lot of victories?
University of no stadium on campus. University of the worst athletic facility in the Division
I thought he was going to keep going with the letters.
No. I'm not that bright. You know, have you been? You've been in the Lead Athletic Complex before.
It's nothing to write home
about. It hasn't been. The carpet hasn't been changed there in 20 years. Carpet. You know how expensive carpet is, Case?
I mean, I understand it's bad.
They're trying to raise money to get new turf at Sam Boyd Stadium.
It's bad, but are you telling me some of these Louisiana directional schools and MAC schools that are respectable are that much worse facilities-wise? I highly, highly doubt it.
That's one of the amazing things to me about UNLV is there have been enough different coaches there that you would think just one of those hires, something would have broke right. You know, it's just amazing to me that it for this long can be this problematic that not one broke through. Because obviously, look, UNLV.
Well, John Robinson.
Okay, that's true. Had a good Robinson little run. Was a good run.
He got some players that could come here, but it was John Robinson who won a national championship at USC and was in the league.
That was sort of, it's not quite the same as when UNLV had Live and Good, but someone who, you know, chair of the basketball committee, all this stuff, normally wouldn't be the AD at a place like this, and it works out. Robinson normally wouldn't be the coach at a place like this, and it mm-hmm. works out. But I do think that generally you have to go with the up-and-comer type of thing. And, you know, if you pay like Colorado State did, I mean, Colorado State 3 years ago made a commitment and is paying Jim McElwain the most in the league. And guess what? They're also now the best team.
And what else do they have going for them? You're smart.
It's not an on-campus stadium because that's been killed. But they want it desperately, and it's not going to happen.
Oh, I thought they were building
money.
A new one.
No.
But they can't get it done.
That's what got the AD fired.
Oh. All right. Well,
it's more contentious there than it is here. That's Fort Collins. Those people are laid back.
Let me ask you this.
I haven't gone through the list, but there are plenty of schools that don't play on campus that have respectable football programs.
Hold on. Can I get back to this? Quit blaming the stadium. I haven't gone on this rant in like a year. I'm tired of hearing about it.
What's wrong at UNLV? Tell me why they don't win.
A lot.
23 out of 28 times.
I can't name the thing because there isn't a thing. That's what baffles me is that not – you know, besides Robinson, none of the coaching hires have panned out. It's a place where you're going to struggle, where it's traditionally going to be difficult. That's true, like Kay said, at a lot of programs. I don't know why that at this specific place for so long it hasn't worked, but it is not the freaking stadium.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. The one thing I do know, I don't know much about football. I know about recruiting. Would you agree with me on that? You go to
– I think you know more about football than
you go to Rivals.com, which tracks recruits and where they've committed. You pull up every team in the Mountain West. They each have 10 recruits that have already committed. You pull up UNLV. They have one recruit who
– I don't think they all – you're right about the way UNLV does it. I don't think every program in the Mountain West is that different. I think there are some at the bottom there that are competing on that level.
Too. And the one kid we have likely won't be coming. He set an Arizona record for passing yards.
Oh, Dalton?
And the Pac-12's all over him.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why doesn't UNLV – I think, again, I understand Bobby had some success at Montana with the big country boy, push you around on the line. He recruits like he's still at Montana. Can we go get somebody who could run fast with the ball?
Again, we talk about this
all the
time.
There's a thousand.
He recruits like he's still there because most players above that level don't want to come here.
Dude, there's 1,000 kids out there that run a 4.440. 4.4 is not that special anymore.
UNLV's, Chase ran a 4.4.
UNLV, fastest guy 2 years ago, do you know who that was?
2 years ago?
When they clocked him during camp. Or maybe he was top five.
Oh, who was it?
Nolan Cohers, the kicker.
Oh, I didn't actually.
What's that say about
the fastest 40?
One of the top. I thought it was the fastest, but it was definitely top five. Wow. Your kicker. Did anybody watch tape of the Utah State game?
And I saw his highlights. Yeah,
there was like two screenplays that Utah State took to the house.
It's exactly what Utah State did the last time they went to Logan.
UNLV wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Okay, it was like somebody driving an 18-wheeler semi versus somebody driving a Ferrari trying to catch it.
Yep.
Right? Football's all about speed, bro. You get quick guy in space and you let them produce. UNLV's got Jay Mitchell returning kicks. Okay, they had their one quick guy, Marcus Sullivan.
Isn't even in the program right now.
Wildly inconsistent guy go down, and your next option.
Oh, it's not go down. He took him. Whatever it is he did, he took himself.
He's
down.
Done.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see any point bringing him back.
Okay, so whatever it is, and you have nobody else. Nobody else.
We're talking about Boyd's fast-ish.
Yeah, but he's 6'4".
Yeah.
He's not going to return.
You're talking about like just little slot speed guys.
Or, yeah, anybody that could return. Everybody. The Patriots have Julian Edelman. I mean, anybody who could catch the ball.
Patriots. How did we go from UNLV football to the Patriots?
I'm just talking every team out there has got a guy that could make something happen.
I mean, I can't.
Best player on the field.
Devontae Boyd.
He's great.
Was Devontae Davis.
Devontae Boyd is absolutely great.
Get Keith Whiteley in space. Why he only got 3 carries against New Mexico is stupid. It's probably because he fumbled a punt early that they did recover. But that guy is decent and was not used nearly enough. Too inconsistent with him throughout the year, in my opinion. But
we're not going to fix UNLV. You're not going to fix it. Yeah. You're not going to fix it. I'm not going to fix it. The guy at the TV station is not going to fix it. Tina Kunza Murphy is not going to fix it. Bobby Houck isn't going to fix it. A lot needs to be fixed. And it starts with getting better players, in my humble opinion. We talk about basketball.
So when do we start seeing that?
The only time, and you brought up in 25 years, UNLV's lost 24 times or whatever the fact was. 28-23. You look at the winning records, John Robinson had a winning record, went to Las Vegas Bowl, and was 500 another year. And he had a ton of kids that could run coming out of everywhere. You got to have kids that could play. If not, it comes down to coaching, execution, and darn luck. Last year, UNLV got in a hot streak, and they got lucky. This year, they got 2 wins.
For anyone not in this room right now, that was a lot of kind of shoulder shrugging and hand wringing from
the sad thing though is I don't feel like at least game results wise they haven't been unlucky this year. They have 3 games that are decided by less than a field goal and they've gone 2-1 in those games.
Yeah, they're just bad.
They're
getting smoked on the road, barely hanging in at home, or well, I mean losing games or barely winning games at home that they should.
And it's 100% their fault.
Yeah, I mean execution.
You know, and if you look at if you're Bobby, you're like, okay, we got 5 games to try to make this look better. I'm going to write on a chalkboard every
4,
even worse. I'm going to write every player we have available for the next whatever games. You started with 105. You've burned some red shirts. You probably got 70 players to choose from. Of those 70 players, I bet you 55 of them you wouldn't want to take to the dance.
Yeah, but you brought them in the first place. And you've had them for years to coach up.
No, you're not.
So if they're not players by now, again, part of that, I talked about this on the pregame show, part of that is on the players and individual responsibility, but eventually, like Kay said, year 5, this is worst team in year 5. That's a problem. Anyway. I just like, we could talk about UNLV football for like 25 minutes and we're still at the same place at the end, unfortunately.
Yeah, they still got 2 wins.
still 2-7, four games to play, two on the road, two at home, Air Force at home this weekend. And we'll just – I guess we'll just see how it goes. I mean, I think Case and I are of the mind that it's time to move on, figure things out. Especially, I mean, if you finish the year 2-11, I don't know how –
Listen, if UNLV moves on, it would be totally out of their DNA, because if there's anything that I know about Las Vegas people, it's they're afraid to do anything of change. You see it in high school sports, the good old boy network, they're afraid of change. And I think I don't know. I don't want to bet anybody because I can't afford it. I owe you guys lunches and dinners. I can't even keep track of it. So I just
you're up $5 in our high school.
Yeah, and you owe me a lunch.
I owe everybody a dinner. Lunch. Yeah,
I owe
yeah,
you
yeah,
this,
yeah.
And I can't figure it out. Go Rebels! Try not to embarrass us again on Saturday.
Oh boy, we've broken Ray Brewer.
I'm broken. I'm done.
All right, for Case Kiefer, for Ray Brewer, still holding out hope that the Rebels go on a 4-game winning streak here. I am Taylor Byrne. We will talk some basketball next week on the Rebel Room. Thanks.